And now, without further ado, our lead pastor, Pastor Joe Source.
Thank you, Caroline. Come on, give it up for Caroline. Amen. Praise God. What an awesome start already to the service, huh? Hallelujah. I do want to mention, if you are a listener to 99.1, how many of you listen to 99.1? Okay, then you will recognize Sean Isaac's voice because he was part of that organization. I think he was the manager, wasn't he, at one time, of the radio station? I know he was one of the big shots up there at 99.1. He's going to be with us. The amazing wisdom that this man has. If you know somebody who even has a desire to go on their own business or be more of an entrepreneurial vocation for the future, I would definitely bring them here. Amen? Amen. So it'll be over at the other side of the building in our youth room. That's where we kind of do all the all-purpose stuff. So again, we'll have a great dinner for those that are coming. Amen? Amen. Praise God. So, hallelujah. God's been doing something very different lately. This has started over the past couple of months, and it keeps growing. It just keeps getting stronger. There's something here. The supernatural, how can I explain it? It's just the supernatural activity of the kingdom of God is becoming more and more of a reality. And if you're sitting there going, well, I'm not experiencing it, well, just hang on. Just stick with us. Amen? Amen. Stick with us. Because if you hang around this thing long enough, you end up falling in. I said, if you hang around this long enough, you'll fall in. And you wake up one day and you'll be like all the rest of our crazy people here. Raising your hands, shouting, speaking in languages that you never spoke before. Seeing miracles happen in your life. Amen? Because that's what it said. That's what the kingdom of God is all about. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Amen. In the what? In the who? In righteousness, peace, and joy. Where? In the Holy Ghost, in the Holy Spirit, because that's who is in charge of the church right now, right? Man thinks he's in charge of the church, but man's not in charge of the church. And when man tries to be in charge of the church, he makes a mess out of it. It's the Holy Spirit who's in charge of the church. And everybody said,
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I want to start out a little bit different. Now, I was intending on doing some review here, but let me just share my heart. How many of you, honestly, with all transparency and honesty, right now, you would not be afraid or intimidated to say you're facing something that you don't know how you're going to handle on your own? Let me see your hands. Okay. Anybody else want to be honest? If you didn't put your hand up, you should have put, okay. Okay. Now, let me just tell you something. You have come to the right conclusion. You are not going to be able to handle them on your own. And that's why the Holy Spirit has been assigned to the church. Okay? Jesus, when he left the earth, ascended into heaven, did like a tag team thing. Now, when Jesus is on the earth, in heaven you had the Father, God the Father, and the Holy Ghost. Jesus is on the earth. Jesus accomplishes his mission. He reveals the Father to the people on earth, to the people who have forgotten who he was, to the people who had originally he had revealed himself to, but then they got religious. They made a whole system out of it, sacrifices and rituals and traditions and superstitions and all this other kind of stuff. So by the time Jesus shows up on the scene in person, they forgot the God who had revealed himself to their great, 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 great grandfather, Abraham. Okay, how many remember Abraham? Abraham had a pretty cool life with God, right? God bless you. All right. So now Jesus shows up on the scene to reintroduce the Father to the people. Then Jesus accomplishes his mission. He preaches the gospel. He goes to the cross. He suffers and dies on our behalf, taking the place that we should have had, taking upon himself all the sin of mankind for all time, taking upon himself all sickness, disease, oppression, depression, mental illness, everything that happened to mankind as a result of sin coming into the world. He accomplishes that mission. By one sacrifice, he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 14. Are you getting this? Okay. Now what happens now? Now, Jesus, while he's on the earth, is one person, right? I mean, it's not a trick question. How many Jesuses were on the earth? One Jesus. So now he leaves so that he can empower the entire church to go and do what he did while he was on the earth. Amen. And you cannot do that in your own natural strength. So he leaves and he explains to the disciples on the night before he went to the cross, he's sitting down with them. Now, they have no idea that the next day he's going to the cross. They have no idea that he's going to be betrayed that night. They have no idea what he's going to face the next day. All they know is they got together to have a Thanksgiving dinner, which in their tradition was called a Seder. They're celebrating Passover. Passover is a celebration of freedom. It's a celebration of God's people coming out of Egypt, coming out of slavery, and going to establish themselves as a nation, okay? So that's what they're celebrating that night. So he's got all their attention. So now he needs to introduce the next component of the Trinity. Remember, if you've been here over the past few weeks, we've been talking about the Trinity. Okay? And some people will automatically say, well, the word Trinity doesn't appear in the Bible. You're right, it doesn't. But the concept does. The reality of the Trinity, God in three persons, is all throughout Scripture. Okay? In fact, it starts with the very first verse of the Bible, which is Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Say, well, where's the Trinity in that? Well, in English, you don't see it, but if you're reading it in Hebrew, in the original language, it says it this way. In the beginning, Elohim. Elohim. Say Elohim.
Elohim.
Elohim created the heavens and the earth. And Elohim, just to go back to the first day we started this series, Elohim is a plural word in Hebrew. So right off the bat, the very first introduction of God in the Word of God is in triune form. God the
Father.
We're going to start again. Ready? 1, 2, 3. God the
Father.
God the Son. God the Holy Spirit. Okay? 3 in 1. Okay. I don't understand that, Pastor. I don't understand it either. When we get to heaven, Jesus will explain to us. But you cannot deny that God reveals himself in the form of the Trinity all throughout Scriptures. Okay? Take it into the New Testament. Jesus gets baptized. Remember Jesus got baptized? Who baptized Jesus? John the who? John the ice cream man? John the who? John the Baptist or baptizer, okay? And so here we have, in the book of Matthew, you see Jesus' baptism. You got Jesus is in the water, yes? Okay, and while Jesus is in the water, John the Baptist says, and I saw the Holy Spirit come upon him like a dove. He didn't say he was a dove. He said like a dove. How does a dove fly? Dove is very gentle and very calm and settled. So you got Jesus in the water. You got the Holy Spirit upon Jesus. And you have a voice that comes out of heaven. The Father saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. How many people do you have? How many? Three. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Okay? So understand, settle this forever in your heart. God exists in the form of the Trinity.
Amen.
Okay? So you and I need to live our everyday lives in this truth, that we have a Father in heaven who's enthroned in majesty, who oversees the activity of the kingdom. He sits on a throne because he is the king, and he's over a kingdom. Come on, say it with me. He's over a kingdom. Now, that's extremely important. Stop thinking like an American. Stop thinking like your Western society. Start thinking according to what that book that you have, that the Bible that you claim is the truth and the Word of God, is a Middle Eastern book. Okay? We are part of a Middle Eastern faith. Are you listening to me? Stop trying to Americanize it. Stop trying to westernize it. That's what's got in trouble with the institutionalized church, where it became a westernized thing, okay? Now, thank God that that Christianity spread to Europe, and Europe became Christian, and then from Europe came the Western Hemisphere and all that influence. So thank God for that influence. But you do not belong to a government that's run by people. You belong, you are the citizen of a kingdom. Come on, we are a citizen of a
kingdom.
Turn to somebody, say, we belong to a kingdom. And turn to somebody else and say, and in a kingdom, the king rules. Now, we're not used to that. We bristle at that. We don't like that. Well, I'm an American. I belong in a democratic society. Yeah. Yeah. I'll go with the kingdom. Because I know the king is very capable. What we got going on right now, I don't know about. Okay, you listen to me? So now watch this now. You and I have to live every day with this understanding that we have a Father in heaven who oversees. He's the king on the throne, and he oversees the kingdom. We have a Savior who has come to earth to reveal himself to us so that when we put our faith in him, we will not perish but have everlasting life. And then we have the Holy Spirit who comes to live within us when we declare our faith in Jesus Christ, and when we give our life to him, then he deposits his spirit in us. And that's how you got born again. Okay? When you came to the place where you concluded that Jesus Christ is exactly who the Bible says he is, that he is the Son of God, that he did die on the cross to pay for your sins and my sins, and when you came to the place to declare your faith in him, Jesus didn't leave heaven and come back down here, crack open your chest and climb in. His spirit came to live inside you. Are you listening? So if his spirit came to live inside you as a result of you declaring your faith in him, don't you think it's important that we should be able to hear from his spirit? A couple of people over here think it's a good idea. Do you not think if the result of you declaring, Jesus, I believe in you, come into my heart, be Lord of my life, I give my life to you, if the result was his spirit came to live in you, then does it take a master's degree or a doctorate to understand that this person, this spirit who came to live in me, is probably very important in my life right now? Because he's the difference between you going to hell or going to heaven. He's the difference between you living a life on this earth totally still bound by all the chains that you had before, as compared to you now having the possibility of living a life that's free, where you're free to follow God and the plan that he has for you specifically. The whole reason for this series is to get us to understand and to raise the level of awareness and to stir us up. We need to know the Holy Spirit. Are you listening to me? Now, let me just go real quick through some things, and then I want to get us to the point. I'm going to show you six promises that Jesus made to us regarding the Holy Spirit. And again, I will come back to this because I don't feel like I've been successful up until this point to getting the level of awareness of you understanding that some of the most important teaching that Jesus gave to his disciples and that survives for us today is found in the Gospel of John, chapter 13 through chapter 17. Some of the most important, in fact, everything he ever said about the Holy Spirit, he said, is recorded for us in those chapters. And it's extremely important what happened, what's going on in Jesus' life when those chapters are written. Where do those chapters take place? Come on, don't be afraid. Say it. Last Supper. The Last Supper. The last what? The Last Supper. So at the Last Supper, we have some of the last words that Jesus spoke on the earth. Do you think they might be important?
Yes.
So, Jesus never referred to the Holy Spirit as an it. My stomach gets in knots when I hear somebody refer, especially when it's supposed to be somebody who's supposed to be a minister, and you hear them on television talking about the Holy Spirit like he's an it. He's not lightning. He's not a force. He's not a feeling. He's not fire, although he's symbolized by fire in the Word of God. He's a person. He's always referred to as a person in the Scriptures. And just because we can't see him doesn't mean he's not here, and doesn't mean he's not real, and doesn't mean that he doesn't have the characteristics of a person. Amen?
Amen.
Well, why is this important? Because I can't relate to an it. I can relate to another person. The only it, I said this, I think, last week, this isn't the Addams Family. Cousin, you'll get it. He's a person. He's been in the Trinity always. There's never a time there was God without the Holy Spirit. There's never a time there was the Holy Spirit without God. There's never a time there was Jesus without God or the Holy Spirit. His first appearance on the scene is within the first few verses of the Scriptures in Genesis. Hallelujah. Let me get there. Mindy, can you go to Genesis chapter 1 and start in verse 1, and we'll just go through those few verses. Are you sticking with me this morning? Because I'm having to pick and choose where I'm going with this, because we don't have time to do the whole teaching. But we'll do enough. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. New King James. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Next verse. The earth, this is what it says in English, but that's not what it says. The earth was without form and void, and darkness is on the face of the deep. In Hebrew, it's, and the earth became without form and void, and darkness is on the face of the earth. Why? Why? Why can we be assured that that's not right? Because God doesn't create anything without form or void. God doesn't create anything that's darkness. So at some point, we'll find out when we get to heaven, okay? We get to heaven, we'll all meet up on, remember, we'll all meet up on some street corner and go, okay, let's go talk to Jesus and go find out what happened between verse 1 and verse 2. Because if you read the rest of Genesis, you'll see whatever God created, he said, and it was good. Right. We don't see him saying, and it was good, that the earth became dark and void. So something happened between verse 1 and verse 2 we don't know. We don't know how much time passed between verse 1 and verse 2, okay? But watch this now. You're going to learn something here. We're going to learn how the Holy Spirit operates and how you can cooperate with him in your life. Because remember, some of you raised your hand and said you were facing things that you cannot handle in the natural. Okay? So remind me of that, okay? So the earth became without form and void and darkness on the face of the earth, okay? Face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was doing what?
Hovering.
Hovering. Hovering. Hovering. Now lately, I've been living in this area for 47 years. And about 10 years ago, all of a sudden, we started seeing all these hawks in the area. Anybody know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Those big sucker birds, big things. Yes. Okay. Now, you watch them. Now, we've got one where I live. We've got one about a half a block away on this gigantic pine tree. And it sits there, like, looking for the neighborhood. I'm like, don't let any of your little kids out today, or pets or anything like that, because we've lost a couple of bunnies. We had little bunnies living in our backyard, and obviously they became lunch. But watch, when you look at these hawks, anybody know what I'm talking about? How many of you have seen the hawks in the area? Okay, what do? They hover. They hover. Looking for something. Okay? That's the same thing. So during this time when the earth became without form, in other words, chaos and empty, and darkness was on the face of the deep, the Spirit of God is still on the scene. But he's doing what?
Hovering.
Next verse. Then God said, let there be light, and light was, right? Then light became, right?
Yes.
So the Holy Spirit's hovering. We don't know how many, I don't know. It could be millions of years that the Spirit of God is hovering over the face of the deep, darkness, chaos, emptiness on the earth because of whatever happened between verse 1 and verse 2. Okay. And then God did what? Come on, don't be afraid. God did, spoke. He said, let there be light, and then the Holy Ghost goes to work. The Holy Spirit is hovering over your life. He's hovering over the darkness. He's hovering over the emptiness. He's hovering over those things that they're so difficult, you can't, it's like trying to unscramble scrambled eggs. And what's he waiting for? He's waiting for somebody to do what?
Speak.
What are you going to speak? Are you going to start belly aching? Because if you belly ache, he's going to continue to. What's he waiting for? He's waiting for you to speak the word of God about the situation that you're facing so that your life can go from darkness, void, and chaos to light and to order. You see this all throughout the scriptures. It's introduced in the very first few scriptures, first verses of the Bible. This is how the Holy Spirit operates. He's waiting for you to speak the word of God, the promise that he's made to you through the Bible about your situation. You listening?
Yes.
Easiest thing in the world is to get results like this. His grace is hovering over you. He's the Spirit of grace, yes or no?
Yes.
Now, that Spirit of grace was hovering over you when you were still a sinner. That Spirit of grace was hovering over you when you didn't know Jesus yet. That Spirit of grace was hovering over you from the minute that you were born until that point in time where you said, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that he is the Son of God. I believe that he rose from the dead. I believe that he died on the cross to pay for my sins. And you said, Jesus, come into my life. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Amen. Light came where there was darkness.
Amen.
Are you listening to me? Now, I know some of you in this room, you know this already. But for the sake of those who may be going through situations right now that they've never faced before, and sometimes we have a tendency that we forget under pressure the things that we knew when everything was okay in our life. I'm telling you, you need to speak the word of God because that will release two functions in the kingdom of God. Number one, it gives the grace of God the opportunity to fall on your life. That's how you got born again. What do you have to give to God in order for this grace to be released in your life?
Faith.
What do you need to speak? Faith. Not belly aching. Not, oh God, if you don't help me, oh God, I can't take this anymore. Oh God, stop it. Stop it. That's not going to change anything. It's not because God is heartless. It's because the kingdom is set up where the power of God responds to, and I hate to use this word because it's so overused in so many different wrong ways. It activates or triggers the release of the power of God. Are you listening?
Yes.
How many times have people come to Jesus in the Gospels? Sick, blind, paralyzed, lepers, whatever. Demon-possessed kids, whatever. And they would express faith. I know, the leper said, I know you can heal me if you're willing. And Jesus said, I'm willing. Boom, be healed. And the leper was cleansed. Okay? And what did Jesus say on multiple occasions? Your faith has made you well or whole. We underestimate the part that we play in this. We want to be lazy and make everything about God. Well, Pastor, God is sovereign, and whatever he wants to do, he'll. Really, if God is sovereign, then why is anybody in hell? If God always gets done what he wants to do, why is there anybody in hell? If God always gets what he wants, why did Adam and Eve fall? If God always gets his will, if his will is always done, why are there people that get sick? You're not understanding this. God is sovereign, and within the sovereignty, he has chosen to limit himself to whatever his people will trust and believe him to be able to do. The fact is, he's not free to do whatever he wants. He's only free to do whatever he wants with those who will trust him, believe in him, and speak his word. Now, I know that might bother you, but it's the truth. It's just the way it is. You're either going to line yourself up with that truth and see results, or you're going to constantly be frustrated the rest of your life because you want to make a God in your image, not the God of the Bible. Well, I just believe that if God wants me to have something, I'm going to have. Well, then why don't you have it? Then why don't you have it? What is God? Has he got it in for you? He loves everybody else in the world, but you he doesn't like. Is it possible you might have got this whole thing wrong? Is it possible that maybe God operates in a way that because you haven't been taught that way, now you want to take God and force him into the box that you want rather than you get out of the box and say, God, I realize now from studying the scriptures and from hearing the word of God taught, this is how I'm to operate with you. God is the God of grace. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of grace. His grace is available to all of us. But grace responds to faith, not crying, not bellyaching, not complaining, not threatening, not all this other kind. He responds to faith. Nobody gets born again. Nobody goes into heaven because they cried enough. You go to heaven, your spirit comes alive to God because you responded to what you heard in faith, and God releases grace. That's how the Holy Spirit works. Amen?
Amen.
Now, let's go to John, the Gospel of John, because I'm going to show you these six promises. Gospel of John. Again, remember, Jesus never referred to the Holy Spirit as an it. He's not an it. Turn to somebody. He's not an it. He's a person. You got weak on the second part. He's not an it. Don't talk to me. I know this. Turn to somebody. Come on, turn. You're so lazy. You won't even turn your neck. Turn to somebody. He's not an it. He's a person. John chapter 14. Verse 16. And I will ask the Father. This is Jesus speaking. And he, the Father, will give you another counselor to be with you for a couple of minutes. to be with you. How long?
Forever.
How long is this counselor going to be with me?
Forever.
Amen. Do you realize, and I know some of you know this, but for the sake of those maybe didn't make the connection yet. When Jesus said, I will never leave you and forsake you, but he left us and he went to heaven. So how is he going to fulfill this promise? I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. How? You got it. The Holy Spirit, he said, will abide with you. Come on, stick with me. I want to get out of here too today. And I will pray the Father and he'll give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. Next verse. Are we there? Do I have another verse? Now, look at this now. But the helper, God bless you, but the helper who?
The Holy Spirit.
Whom the Father will send in my name, it's not going to teach you. He will teach you how many things?
All things.
Oh, I know, Pastor, I know, the scriptures. No, he said he'll teach you all things. All things. Got a problem on your job? Holy Spirit, teach me. You're faced with a situation, you don't know what to do? Holy Spirit, teach me. I tell the story all the time. You probably heard it. You could probably repeat it with me. Years and years and years ago, I had an old work van, okay? Beat up, broke down a whole bit. Drive it to church, come out of the service, get in the van, it won't work. As a step of faith, I opened the hood. Now, if you know me, you'll know that was a step of faith. Because I don't know the hood. I don't know the engine from the back door. But I'm going, okay, people are watching me. Let me act like a grown man, like I know what I'm doing. So what do you do? What do you do? You open the hood and you start going like this, like you know what you're doing. No clue. No clue. No clue. I tell this story all the time. The worst, thank God I can cook and I can preach, because if it wasn't for that. So I'm standing there, and like, I don't want to walk home. At that time, we lived in Lakewood. I'm all the way on the other side of Bricktown. All right? I'm like, I don't want to walk home. So I'm looking at this thing. I'm looking at this thing. And then I'm like, Holy Spirit, you know what's this? You know what's going on here. I don't know what this is, but this is all made out of elements that you created the earth with. You have to know what's going on here. And as I'm doing that, and as I'm just pondering and I'm praying, all of a sudden I see this loose wire. And I'm like, I don't know why they would have made it loose like that. I guess it's just hanging there. It must plug into something. Holy Spirit, teach me all. Teach me. Show me. You know. I went, well, let me see what happens. Take that. Oh, that there's a outlet there that doesn't have anything in it. Get in the car. The Holy Spirit will teach you all things. I've had multiple times where there's been situations, even in the ministry, I don't know how I'm going to handle this situation. Holy Spirit, Jesus said, you'll teach me all things. Well, teach me. Teach me what I need to know. Amen. See, but we want a religion. We want to make everything religious. We want to put everything in religious category. Oh, so he'll teach me the Bible. No, he'll teach you all things. When it was time for us to have our second child, I was scared to death. I'm like, it was hard enough with one. And I know other fathers have faced the same thing. How am I going to show love to two different individuals? Two different, especially with different personalities. And that used to frighten me. And I would say, Holy Spirit, Jesus said, you'll teach me all things. Teach me how to be a father. Teach me how to manage. I didn't know there was going to be four of them all together. I was having a hard enough time with two. But you understand, what am I saying this for? I'm telling you, take the Holy Spirit out of the realm of just the Bible and your Christianity. He's willing to teach you whatever you're facing. Amen? And then you know you got it because you knew it didn't. You know it didn't come from you. When that van started that day, trust me, I knew it was the Holy Ghost. I told you about the first time I tried to work on a car. When my wife and I first got married, we lived in the neighborhood right back here. I had the car in the garage. I said to her, I'm going to change the oil. I'm not spending, back then, $15 to get the oil changed. $15 47 years ago was a lot of money. You could almost buy a McDonald's meal. So I come in from the garage into the house, and I said to her, why is the oil red? Why is the oil red? She said, dummy, you took the transition fluid out of the car. So we agreed that early on in our marriage that I am not to touch a vehicle. You got to know your limitations, okay? Know my limitations, okay? There's a couple of things I don't get involved in, all right? But watch this now, okay? But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, we got to move fast now. Number one, say number one promise.
Number one promise.
He will teach you all things. Number two, and bring to your remembrance. Jesus is saying, like, they don't have to say that loud, and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. So right off the bat, he said to them, this Holy Spirit is going to teach you all things, disciples. How many disciples do we have here? Three, four. Come on. How many disciples do we have in here? All right. He will teach you all things. He will bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Two promises right there. Let's go with the next one. Chapter 15, verse 26. But when the Helper comes, who I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from me, he, the Holy Spirit, will testify of Jesus. Anytime the Holy Spirit is active, he will never point to a man. He'll never make a big deal of a person. He will always point to Jesus. When there's a miracle and you see somebody taking credit for that miracle, that was not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit always points to Jesus.
Amen.
All right? Promise number three. Let's go to the next portion of Scripture. John 16, 30. You see how this is John 14, John 15, John 16, all at the Last Supper. However, when he, not it, when he, the Spirit of what?
Truth.
Are you guys going to cooperate with me today?
Yes.
When he, the Spirit of truth has come, promise number four, he will guide you into all truth. You will know on the inside because you got the Holy Spirit on the inside. Go like this. Go like this. Quick. I got the Holy Spirit on the inside. That's why you could sit in front of your television at sometime and a program will come on and you on the inside go, I don't feel good about watching this. Somebody will give you a book to read and you go, okay, thank you. And you put it on the shelf. Why? Because it's like, what's going on the inside? Why? Because the Holy Spirit on the inside is going, don't read that. Don't read that. Don't watch that. Don't say that. Don't think that. Don't go there. Why? Because he's leading you into what? Truth. All right. He will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. Hears from who? Hears from who? God. So listen to me. If Jesus said that the Holy Spirit who's in you is going to take what I say and what the Father says and speak into you, do you think that we could afford to not pay attention to the Holy Spirit? Absolutely not. How are you going to get direction for your life? No, you know what you're going to do? You're going to do what everybody else says. Go to six other people. Well, what do you think I should do? And what do you think I should do? And you're asking people who are more messed up than you are, and you expect to get advice from them. Do you hear what I'm saying? Isn't this common sense? Why do you go depend on somebody else who's completely flawed, worse than you are? Number five. This is important. He will tell you things to come. Listen to me. In theory, as far as God's concerned, nothing should ever take us by surprise. If we're keen enough, and if we're sensitive to his voice enough, I know we're not going to get 100%, but we should try to get there. He will show you things to come. How many times has it happened that you felt this little tug on your side? Maybe you're getting ready for work, go to work, you're in front of the mirror, you know, you're doing whatever you got to do, clean this, clean that. And on the inside, you start getting this thing like, don't take the parkway this morning. Go a different route. And then your mind kicks in and goes, well, if I do that, it's going to take an extra 5 minutes. And so you get on the parkway, and what happens? Bam, there's an 11-car pileup up the road, and now you're stuck in traffic, and you were afraid to waste 5 minutes if you went the other way. Now you're an hour late because you didn't what? Listen. He will show you things to come. Now, I don't even know if I want to go here. How many times has one spouse or another got an inkling on the inside, something's going on with my husband, my wife, amen, my kids? I guess that's why I went there. Oh man, I'm getting ready to throw gasoline on this fire. And then you bring the topic up and the other one goes, oh, it's just your imagination. And you know on the inside, it ain't my imagination. What is that? Now, the Holy Ghost is not a troublemaker. He will show you things to come. Let me tell you something. You cannot parent correctly without the Holy Ghost. My kids knew it from when they were little. Don't do stuff because the Holy Ghost tells me stuff. And we had enough evidence. Yes. They would talk amongst each other. Man, not doing it. You know, dad's going to hear about this. Now, watch this now. Is that because I'm somebody special? No. Listen to me. It's because I learned these promises early on. And I have tried to live my life by these things. Holy Spirit, you know what I'm going to do. When I prepare for the messages, Holy Spirit, you know who's going to be there today. You know what kind of needs people are going to come with. You know exactly what somebody needs to hear. Show me things to come. And there are some times that I literally see, like this morning, was it this service with the heart?
Yes.
Was this service? I saw that during praise and worship. I saw myself praying for people with heart conditions. That's how we're led by the Spirit sometimes. You know what I'm saying? Now, don't take this and run with it, but there have been times where I know, I just heard of a testimony recently where a person went someplace, and this was way before never mind, just let me just throw it out there. And God spoke to the person and said, you see that person standing online, okay? That's your wife. Didn't know who the person was, never saw her before, didn't know her name. Now, don't go standing in Starbucks now. Let the Holy Spirit introduce that to you. Don't go look, because the devil can point somebody out too, and it might be his sister. Where am I? Come on, we got to get out of here. It's 12:30 already. Did I do number six yet? No, okay. All right, verse 14, John 16, 14. Jesus is speaking again. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. Listen to me. You and I, there's too much that Jesus has promised that the Holy Spirit will do in our lives for us to ignore him. If we ignore the Holy Spirit, if we don't bother to press in and develop a relationship, and I can't do that for you and you can't do it for me, you've got to pursue him. Come on, you've got to pursue him. Amen. Holy Ghost, I want to know you. I want to know you. Teach me your voice. Teach me to hear you. Teach me to be obedient. Show me when it's you. You know exactly how to speak to me. Why? Your life may depend on it. Listen to me. God only knows how many Christians that were at the tower that day when the plane crashed in it, that in the morning the Spirit of God was saying to them, don't go to work today. Don't go this route. Be 15 minutes late. Well, and they overrode it. They went to heaven, but they might not have, maybe they weren't supposed to go yet. We cannot afford to ignore him. Now watch this now. All six of these activities, Jesus did not use them to just describe the Holy Spirit. They are promises. How, got to do this fast now, how do we access the promises of God? By faith. It's a promise. Jesus wasn't just describing the Holy Ghost. What he was telling his disciples, look, I'm not going to be here. I'm going to the cross tomorrow. He's not telling them this, but he knows. I'm going to the cross. From the cross, I'm going to go into the grave. From the grave, I'm going to rise up. We used to sing that years ago. From the grave, I'm going to rise up, and I'm going to be out of here. This is who I'm leaving in charge. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, the helper, the comforter, the counselor, the advocate. You got to get to know him, or you're not going to be able to finish the ministry that I started that I'm turning over to you. If that was important to them and they had Jesus right in front of them, how much more important is it to us that we've not seen him in person yet? Now watch. When you have a promise, all you need to do is apply faith to it. So let me share with you how I pray sometimes. Father, you said that the Holy Spirit will show me things to come. Lord, I need to be equipped. I've got a couple of thousand people that are counting on me. I'm trusting you that if I need to pray for somebody, you're going to show me, even if it's just their face, you're going to show me so that I can pray. I got a family that's depending on me. Lord, if there's something coming at us, please show me so I know how to pray. Lord, Jesus said that the Holy Spirit would remind me of the things that Jesus has spoken. Remind me of the things that are important for me today. You listen to me. Lord, you said that the Holy Spirit would lead us and guide us into all truth. Father, show me the truth. Teach me the truth so that I can teach the truth. Amen. You understand what I'm saying? But watch this now. I've also done it this way. Lord, I got a wife that's depending on me. I've got children to raise. I've got grandchildren now. Lord, show me, equip me. I believe that I hear your voice. You know what most of us are walking around saying? I never hear from God. I never hear from God. Well, guess what? You never hear from God. Not because he's not speaking, but because you have put this smoke screen up. By the words of your mouth, you're establishing your relationship. You keep going around. Yet Jesus, before any of the disciples were born again, said, "My sheep hear my voice, and the voice of a stranger they will not follow." So let me guess, who's right, you or him? So now, what are you going to confess over your life? What are you going to say? What does confession mean? Confession is not just when you go in a box with somebody you don't know on this side of the screen and you start making up a whole bunch of things that you really didn't do. That's not confession. Biblical confession is to say the same as what the Word says. That's how you change things in your life. Father, you said, and then you speak that out. So, if you're just starting on this journey, start doing this. Father, I'm your sheep. I belong to you. The Lord Jesus said, I'm his sheep and I hear the good shepherd. I hear his voice. Even if you've never heard it before, what are you going to do? Keep saying, I don't hear him. Well, guess what? You're not going to hear him. But if you start now establishing with your mouth the truth of what God says, you will very shortly begin to be very much aware of the voice of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because you're saying what Jesus said, not what your feelings are telling you. You need this. I need this. We need this. Even more importantly, there's a lost world outside of these four walls that need a church who hears from the Holy Spirit. You listening?
Yes.
What are you going to do with this now? Is it just, you're going to just go home with a bunch of fun-filled facts? No, start operating in this. Stand up, everybody, because we got to get out of here. Say this to me. Father,
this day,
I establish with the words of my mouth that I am your sheep. You are my shepherd. I will not hear the voice of the stranger.
I hear your voice
because you've said so. You speak the truth. I hear your voice. I don't care what my mind says. I don't care what my feelings say.
I declare
what you said as truth.
I hear
your voice.
I am
your sheep.
Settled.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
God bless you. You're dismissed. Go enjoy the rest of the day.